The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and we'll begin reading there with verse 14. Paul and Barnabas are on the first missionary journey. Last week, as we've seen, the hands laid on them, and the church sent them out to be the first missionaries. But they left Perga, and then they arrived at Poseidon Antioch. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue, and they sat down. And after reading the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials said to them, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." And Paul stood up, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted hand, he led them out. For a period of 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And then when he had destroyed the seven nations of the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took 450 years. After these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And after he removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' From the descendants of this man, according to the promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. And after John had proclaimed before his coming of the baptism of repentance to all the people, and while John was completing his course, he kept saying, 'What do you suppose that I am? I'm not he. But behold, the one who is coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie.' Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and to all those among you who fear God, to us the message of salvation has been sent. For those who lived in Jerusalem, the rulers recognized neither him nor the utterance of the prophets which they read in the Sabbath, fulfilling these by condemning him. And though they found no ground to put him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. And when they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, to the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for a fact, he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay. He has spoken this way, 'And I will give you the holy and surely blessings of David.' Therefore, he also says in another psalm, 'You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all of the things and from all those things not to be freed through the law of Moses, that the law of Moses could not free us. Therefore, take heed, so that the things spoken of by the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I'm accomplishing a work in your day, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to be here in worship. I personally am grateful for the expressions of concern and care and love for me. And we pray for B's family right now and what they're going through, that there would be an outpouring of your Spirit upon them. And then we pray that we would be aware of the presence of your Spirit in this place this morning, and that you would draw us all to that place of surrender and commitment to you and to your will. Father, we thank you again that you're a good God who has done everything necessary to save us. And we just pray that we'll open our hearts to be obedient to you this morning as you draw us to you. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Acts chapter 13 opens, and we've been preaching through the book of Acts along the basic general theme of the church continuing to carry on the ministry of Christ, the church ultimately continuing to be the church. And as that church continued to be the church, to obey the commands of Christ and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world as Christ had commanded, this is a very strategic moment. The 13th chapter of Acts opens up at a very historical moment. One, a moment in the church of Jesus Christ that literally changed the world, and one that we're still living out of the blessings of what had happened. You know, it was a strategic moment for the church. The plan of God has always been to send missionaries into the world. Jesus told the disciples, you know, when they, even as he, before he ascended into heaven, he said, when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you shall be my witnesses, beginning here in Jerusalem and in Samaria, then in Judea and Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the earth. It was God's plan for all time to send the gospel into all the nations of all the world and to provide witnesses to go into all of that world. And the gospel was never intended for just one people, never intended for the Jews alone. And here, and we have seen that as we've walked through this book, how God has been moving across the racial lines and barriers and political lines and barriers to come and to bring the gospel to all peoples and bring them into that place. And here in the 13th chapter of Acts, God lays his hand upon Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas, and Paul's name is changed in the process of this chapter. When he begins his first missionary journey, his name changes from Saul to Paul, because as he moves out of the Jewish background and church and moves into the Gentile world, he begins to use the Gentile name. So, you know, and we know him and refer to him as the Apostle Paul. So God laid his hand upon them, and he began to lead them out of that city. He laid this church to lay hands upon them and to call them out so that they could be the instruments to, in order to carry the gospel as the first missionaries into the world. Now, we need to be reminded that God intends for the church to be missionary. This church was sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and they were concerned about the souls of men, and they seized every opportunity they could to be able to share the gospel of Christ in their ordinary lives as they went about preaching and teaching Jesus. And then on special occasions, they took the initiative. And intentionally, not only through their everyday life, but intentionally, they made plans to go into the world and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks. And that's still the way we're supposed to be functioning as a church. We need to draw the bottom line as the foundation that in our everyday lives, as we go through life, God gives us opportunities to be able to share the gospel. And we're to be sharing that by the life we live, by the words we speak, as we communicate who we are in Christ, and we could seize those moments of opportunity that God gives us. But then there are also to be the other times where we are to intentionally reach into the lost world and knock on doors and seize through special events or through other things that will happen the opportunities that we have to be able to share the gospel of Christ, to intentionally pierce the dark world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now here in Acts 13 and 14 is the record of the first missionary journey. It was a dramatic time. They faced persecution. They faced reception. They faced rejection. Next Sunday morning we'll probably be looking at the responses to the missionary message. And there were some who accepted and believed, others who rejected. That's still true today, but they continued to be the witnesses no matter what happened or what the persecution was that took place or what the reception was. They still obeyed the command of Christ to go forward and to preach the gospel of Christ. And this is a unique message. For the first time, you know, in Scripture, and for the only time basically in Scripture, we see Paul coming to the Jewish synagogue, and we have recorded the first missionary sermon. That is, it's the only full sermon that we know that Paul, you know, that we have in writing that Paul preached. So I think that's significant in the sense that we need to pay attention to what Paul is saying and what he's preaching and what he's talking about, For he was the apostle to the Gentiles, who literally was instrumental, he used of God to spread the gospel into all the Gentile world. So, and here is Paul's first missionary message. So what is that message that he proclaims? What is it that he's talking about? What did he preach? Now, Paul, summarizing that message later in the book of Corinthians, says that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the craftiness of the clever, and I will set aside, you know, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. But God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign, Greeks seek for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, when we see those words and then we look back at his message and realize what he preached, you know, we realize that that's significantly the same message that we're still to be proclaiming today. It's the message of the gospel. Now, he begins his message by basically reviewing Jewish history, looking back at the Old Testament time, beginning there with verse 17. He said, number one, God chose Israel. This was God's initiative. He took the initiative, and he chose Israel, and he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Not only did he choose them to make them into his own people, but he delivered them with a mighty hand. Paul was talking to a Jewish synagogue and people who had knowledge and history of the Old Testament, but Paul is still reviewing for there. He doesn't go into a lot of detail because they knew the detail of what it was, but he reviewed ultimately that history. God chose them, and he built a great nation out of them, and then he delivered that nation by a mighty hand. And then he says that he put up with them. That's the way the New American Standard translates it. He kind of put up with them in the wilderness for 40 years because they had rebelled against him. And, God still had his hand upon them in verse 18. And then in verse 19, he said he conquered the land of Canaan and the Canaanites. You know, all these nations, the Canaanites, were descendants of the grandson of Noah. And who, when they dispersed after the ark, they went into the land. There were seven nations there. And as Israel went into that land, God dispersed them out of the land and gave that land to Israel. And once they got into the land, God gave them judges. And the judges ruled. When the people lived for God and served God, then, they kind of got slack. And when they did, they would cry out unto God, and God would raise up a judge in order to deliver them and set them free. They got tired of living that way, and so then they asked for some other kind of way. And so God sent Samuel, basically, he sent the prophets. And the prophets began to preach and to proclaim. And then they wanted a king of their own, like all the other nations of the world. And so God let them choose their king, and they chose Saul. And Saul became king. He actually was king for 40 years. But Saul turned in his kingship, and he began to go his own way rather than trust God. So God removed him and his lineage from the kingship, and he chose David, and David came. And there's some wonderful things said about David in this passage of Scripture. He was a man who was after God's own heart, who would do the will of God. And then later he talks about that David was a man who served God's purpose in his generation. You know, I'd love for that to be said about me, you know, and a compliment of being able to do what God had purposed and called us to do. And then from David and David's lineage and David's son, you know, from his descendants, God sent you, in verse 23, he said, God sent you a Savior, which is Jesus. Folks, he's now got to the point. He reviewed the history. He prepared the way. He opened the door. Said, God has been working in history. God has been working from the beginning. It is he who calls us out. It is he who brings us to this place. And now, you know, he has sent Jesus into the world to do everything that is necessary, ultimately, for you to be saved. And so he has brought you a Savior. And then he goes in to talk about how, you know, God has used Jesus to be the Savior. You know, He'd reached the point basically he'd been moving, and that's the central point of everything we're to be preaching and proclaiming. He talks about he is a Savior. The very word Savior literally means deliverer. God has delivered us, and he has delivered us from our sin. He talked about John the Baptist coming, and John making sure and saying that Jesus was, I'm not the one who is to come, but the one who comes after me is to come. He pointed to Jesus, and he said, and I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He came to lift up and to preach up Jesus. He is the Savior who has delivered us. In verse 26, he said, and the word of salvation because of Jesus has now come to you. To all that are here, we have the word of salvation, which is Jesus. That's personal. See, Paul not only talks about broad proclaims in history, and sometimes we can look back at that and say, well, what does that have to do with me and all of those things? But Paul brought it home, and he brings history to the point that it climaxes into a very point. God has sent Jesus to be a Savior, but you understand this is for you personally. Salvation has come to you who are here today. And folks, it is still true. Everything that has gone on in the past, everything that has happened, that's God working in the world and calling us out of nation and calling out of people and sending His Son, Jesus Christ, it is so that He can bring us to the place that we will realize and recognize that salvation has been brought to us personally here today. You know, and He has the power to be able to set us free from the penalty of sin and the consequences of that sin. But He began to talk about this Savior, but He said the people that He came to rejected Him. They rejected Him and they crucified Him. Okay, could find nothing wrong. They went to Pilate and demanded it to be executed. And He was, and then He was taken down from the cross and He was buried in a tomb. The death of Jesus Christ was necessary in order to deal with sin. And every time the gospel is preached, folks, that death is talked about. And the cross is talked about. The cross is about Jesus Christ taking the wrath against sin. He's talking about Jesus Christ taking the penalty against sin and dying in our place. But the cross is not the end. Because then we come to verse 30. And it begins with that little word, but. Almost every time you see that happens, we ought to pay special attention to what's fixing to be said. This is what happened. They put Him on a cross. They buried Him in a tomb. But God has raised Him from the dead. God has raised Him from the dead. And as a result of being raised from the dead, we have a living Savior. And He has fulfilled all of the promises of God. Look at verse 32. We preach to you the good news of the promise made to our fathers. One of those first promises was made to Abraham. And he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless the nations of the world through you and through the descendants. And now Jesus has been born, has been crucified, has been raised from the dead. And God says now God has kept all the promises that He's made unto our fathers. And verse 33 said, and God has fulfilled this promise in our children when He raised Jesus from the dead and He called Him His own Son, begotten of Him that day. Folks, and then He said Jesus did not face any decay. He talked about how David, when he died, even though he served God and God's purpose in his own generation, when he was placed in the grave, he eventually decayed. But Jesus did not face decay. He was raised from the dead and His body never faced any decay. And the idea is that He is a living Savior who is still alive and who did not face the decay, but He is alive and well. And it is through Him, it says, then through Him that you have the forgiveness of sins. And our sins are forgiven in verse 38. And then in verse 39, it says you are set free. You're freed from the things in which the law of Moses could never set you free. Well, that's an important part of the message of Christ. Because ultimately what Paul is saying there is that Jesus has done everything necessary for us to be saved and to be freed from the penalty of sin and what sin has done to us. That's something that the law could never do. That's something that the law that was given to Moses could never do. That's something that our works could never do. It is totally and completely in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And we are justified before God. We are set free before God because of what Jesus Christ has done, and that's something that the law and all of our works and all of our self-righteousness could never do. But we now have the forgiveness of sins and we're free. But then he also goes on to say in verse 40 and 41 that there will be those who will not heed the word. And they will scoff at it, verse 41, and marvel and perish. And he said, ultimately, he's talking about judgment. Folks, there's going to come a day when God's going to bring all of the world into judgment concerning what they did with Jesus Christ. They're going to scoff and laugh. That's a possible response to Christ. Or you can believe and trust him. And you can experience all that he came to do, forgiveness of sins, and to set you free from all that sin has done to us. But God said, I'm going to do a work here through Jesus Christ. If I could just describe it to you, if someone could even tell you about it, it would absolutely be amazing. And can you imagine the people in Paul's day who were standing there hearing this message about what Jesus is going to do? Could you imagine that 2,000 years later that we would be here at Mooresport Baptist Church this morning preaching and proclaiming the same message of Jesus Christ? But not only us, but the message of Jesus is being preached over the entire world and touching, nation after nation after nation. And literally, in that time, millions of people have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord because they've come to Christ. God said, I'm going to do a work that's beyond description. For we don't even know some of the things God's doing. We just kind of scratch the surface and we talk about it. And the things we know about it, the people we know who are coming to Christ. But there are literally thousands and possibly millions coming to Jesus every day across our world. And we don't even have any idea what God is still doing. And folks, it's all being done through this Jesus. The same Jesus Paul proclaimed on the missionary journey. It's the Jesus we preach every Sunday when we come up here. It is the Jesus that calls upon us to give our lives to him in service and surrender and willingness. Folks, and this is the message that I proclaim to you. It's the most important message we will ever proclaim. Jesus Christ is what you need above everything else in your world. We have sinned against God and we have rebelled against him and we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ was sent to be that Savior. And this message is salvation for you today. And by believing in him, you have the forgiveness of your sins and you can be reconciled unto God. He has taken care of the sin problem. He's paid the price on the cross and he's conquered sin and its death, which is its byproducts and all the consequences. And he has guaranteed us that we can have life everlasting and eternal because he has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He's the Savior God has sent to us. And we can trust him. And we can live for him. The most crucial question you'll ever answer is, do I really know this Jesus? See, it is not, and Paul made it very clear, we're not freed because of the law of Moses or from the works or other things. We're freed in total, absolute surrender and trust to Jesus. That's the only way. Do you really know him? Have you really committed your life to him? It's not about coming to church. It's not about doing good things. It is about trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord. Have you come to that place where you have absolute certainty that you've trusted Jesus? Folks, he's the only way. And he's what you need more than anything else in the world today, is you need Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your love. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus, for what he's done for us and what he's doing for us and what he will do. It is beyond our imagination. But Father, we recognize today that we need you above everything else. And we ask that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living Christ that's in this place today, would draw us to yourself. One here without you as Savior. We pray, Father, that you would open their hearts and that they would respond to you in repentance and faith. And as a child of God and as a church, we pray that you would implant upon our hearts the necessity to be your witnesses and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in our daily lives and intentionally with the plans. And we want to give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.